Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hey, hey.
We are back in the building.
Welcome to Shift Real Talk Tuesdays. I'm your girl, Lady Free.
And I'm your boy, like no other, Pastor J.
Like no other. Listen.
There's only one.
This episode tonight is a saga that continues from our last guest, Barry Austin. He has an amazing story, and you do not want to miss it. I mean, imagine being incarcerated being sentenced to 15 years in prison, having all the time in the world.
I think it was 22.
No, he was sentenced to 15, but he had to do more.
Okay.
But he was sentenced to 15. I didn't know the exact number, but thank you. However, coming into a point where you imagining getting out, I mean, all the time in the world to sit there and imagine what it's going to be like to get out, only for that day to come. Now you outside. Barry Austin is going to help us to understand what people really go through. Because do we really understand what they go through? We're just glad that they're out. But they really go through a lot of different things that we have no clue about. And today, he's going to give us like a bird's eye view into the hearts of those who have made it home. So tonight's episode is entitled, I'm Outside. This is Life After Lockup. Welcome tonight, Barry Austin. Hello,
Barry.
The
king. Welcome back, man.
Welcome back.
As he said earlier, the saga continues.
It continues.
And we had to bring you back, man, because when we had you on the first time, we really honestly didn't cover everything that we tried to cover,
man,
in one episode.
Right.
So we felt indebted to the people who were still asking questions afterwards. You know what I'm saying? So man, we thank you for coming back on, man.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming back on, man. This is a pleasure. This is a pleasure to bring you back on the show. Listen, man, you know, just kind of brief us, you know, from the last episode, man, and let's have this shift real talk.
From the last episode, it was tremendous when I tell you the outpouring, the response. It was crazy. The followers, you know, on social media, just, you know, the encouraging words just were like really dope. And just like people wanting to know, you know, what else happened. They know there was more to the story. So it's just like, it's just really dope.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
so tonight's episode is I'm Outside. This is really, you know how they have the episode, the show talk called Love After Lockup. Life After Lockup. You really have like the meat of this story. So we're going to let you.
I want to kind of like start it off.
Okay.
Because here you were. You were, you know, behind the prison walls for a long period of time. And I'm sure. When you got to, like, now my day is coming up, man. You know, hey, how you doing, Adrian?
What's
up,
Adrian?
So we get to the point now where you're getting excited, like I'm about to get out. Oh man, this is, you know, the days are coming, and I'm sure you was anticipating getting out.
Come on, what was that like?
So now, in the anticipation of getting out, and then when you get out. How was that? What was that like? I mean, how was that feeling for you? You know, how you doing, Maritza?
It was crazy. When I made my eighth parole, but when I got the decision, it was like surreal. Because again, like I said, last time I was on, being sentenced to 15, you know, end up doing 22 and 9. I never thought when I was sentenced that I would ever see the outside of, you know, prison bars again.
Wow.
So, getting that, it was just like, it was crazy. It was like crazy surreal, even though I don't think it really set in until the morning that I left, that I was to leave, because, you know, anything can happen. You know what I mean? Wow. You wake up in the morning.
They can change their mind. Yeah.
It's not even that they can change their mind. Something can happen. You know, a riot could break out. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. You know, things just happen. Wow. So I don't think it really hit me until that morning, and when I put on civilian clothes to walk out that gate. So, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So did, coming out, did you feel like you missed so much? No, finally, when I'm getting out, you know, because it's like you was gone for a while. So coming out, did you feel like you missed anything, or was it different? Like, what was that feeling when you finally got out? Good evening, Crystal.
Let me say this. I didn't know that I had missed a lot, or that the world had changed.
Right.
It did, because I went in 1991 and I came out in 2014.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Totally different world. So it hit me hard, you know. It was crazy. Like 1991, 2014, when I tell you it was shocking to see stuff that I see on the street, just everything. It was a whole new world. And in my mind, nobody prepared me for when I stepped out. So I'm just thinking everything was going to fall into place. Like, there'll be no problem me finding, you know, a place to stay. There'll be no problem finding a job, making money. I just, in my mind, I had painted this perfect, you know, that it was just going to happen. I was going to step out. It was just going to be on and popping. That was not the case.
That was not the case.
You know what, man? Wow. That's why I believe it's so important to really know God. Because the point, you know, like, I know a lot of people who went through what you went through and come out. And when they come out, they expect this. Okay, well, now I can kind of hit the ground running, you know what I'm saying? Especially after, you know, just having time to think and having time to reflect. And then in that reflection time, I'm sure that's a time like, okay, of motivation. You know, I'm going to do some things different. But when you come outside and your expectation that you done built up in the inside, it doesn't match up with the responses of what's going on the outside.
Right.
Come on here.
What? Okay, so that's my thing. I remember asking you one time, okay, so I love the movie Life with Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy. So I was asking you,
here's a question.
When you got out, was it like that? Like how when Martin was driving the car and he finally was able to see now all the things that was it like that at all when you got out?
To a degree. I'm going to tell you when it hit me. So a friend of mine, Tanya Houston, she picked me up. Right. And, you know, we're driving, you know, we're upstate, and somehow when we got into the city, you know, we was coming to Queens, and somehow she made a wrong turn and we ended up in Harlem. And yo, we got in Harlem and I'm looking around and I'm seeing Harlem. I'm seeing Black folks, 125th. I lost it. Wow. Like the dam broke. I was uncontrollable. She had to pull the car over and I just had to get out for a minute, and just like, I was just looking around, you know, just bawling, just like, wow. Yeah.
Totally different.
So we got a question.
We have a question from Marissa. She says, are you not supposed to tell your inmates when you get home, or is that something you have to keep a secret?
I mean, a lot of times people keep it a secret because you have people in there that never see the light of day. So a lot of times, unfortunately, they hate on individuals that's going home.
Right.
So that, you know, they'll do things to try to prevent you from going home and stuff like that. You know, it was very different with me because the love that I had, right, you know, amongst the masses, you know what I'm saying? You know, the first, I think it was my second parole board in Hudson. Yo, the brothers went on the fast with me. Like, they turned down their plate. And even though I was hurt, I was more hurt for them because they was praying and fasting, believing God for my release, and it didn't happen.
Wow.
Wow.
They was turning down food.
They was turning down food.
Let me tell you something, dude. Are you a golden child? That's what I want to know, because these are things that we've never, ever heard before. Inmates turning their plates down so that you can get out. So here you are, you outside. Okay, before we go forward, though, I have a question for Andre. You know what? We have a lot of people asking questions, so this episode might be one of those. Andre said, what was the first thing you did when you got out?
The first thing I did I told you my friend picked me up.
Right.
So after we made the detour, accidental detour in Harlem, we had to go to Queens because I had to report to parole that day. I had to report to parole. So after I reported to parole, in Queens. I went to Metro PCS and I brought a phone. I think it was VIMs. I went and brought a couple of items and then I hopped on the train because I had to go and check into the shelter.
Wow.
Check into a shelter.
Yeah.
See, and that's the part that I think that a lot of times we miss. People that have been out here this whole time, I think that's some of the stuff that we truly do miss, because you getting out of prison and you going into a shelter.
A shelter.
I'm sure that was nowhere near what your the optimism of your thoughts when you were in there. Okay, because all we think about is, okay, he's out. But once you get out, that's when life really starts.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And again, we wasn't prepared for this. We wasn't, you know, there was nothing, you know, they give us an ID that you can't do nothing with. I mean, you know how many times I went to the DMV before I got a woman, an older woman who was just like, how many years you did? And I told her, because they kept turning me down. They wouldn't accept my ID to get an official ID, a non-driver's license. You know, I couldn't even go to Western Union and get money, use that ID to get money from that my family would send me from, you know, different states and stuff like that. They set you up to fail. So it was just like, everything was just like complete havoc.
Wow. So, okay. So Andre, we appreciate you so much, sir, because, and all of those, Lisa, who's on the line, Marie Ray, who's on the line, thank you guys for coming in. We have David on the line. We have Adrian on the line, Yolanda, Yvonne. If I missed anybody, Dawn, we thank y'all. Samara for coming on. We have a question. Andre said basically.
She said, wait, here's one. And the shelters back then were not like they are today.
I don't know how they are
today. How are they today, Maritza? Are they worse than they were back then?
I probably think they're a little more tame.
Barry's in Brooklyn, Marie.
No, my first night I had to stay in Manhattan at Bellevue's Men's Shelter. Lo and behold, I didn't lay down. I didn't get a wink of sleep. I was up all night long.
So you had to check in by a certain time.
I went from parole. Listen, I went on the avenue real quick with the Metro PCS, brought me a couple of pair of jeans and VIM and within my budget, and I hopped on the train and got there before my deadline.
Was it scary? Like, what was it?
It was nasty.
Because I know Marissa says that it's not like it was then. What was it like then? Because this is your story.
It was, first of all, it was filthy. And it was just wild. Like, yo, imagine just wildness, you know, fights, drug transactions, folks getting high. You know, one thing, you know, all this happened in the system, but, you know, you had officers that would come and be, you know what I mean? And folks were scattered. No, this was the block.
I know how the shelter was there on in Brooklyn off of Bedford in Atlantic, right there on the corner. Horrible. Like, they used to come outside to you know, to wipe your little windows or, you know, make a little money, but they were stinking. Yeah. They, you know, they weren't smelling too good, and I just knew how they looked going in there. So
thankfully, I only stayed in Bellevue's Men's Shelter one night, and then from there, they moved me to a shelter in Brooklyn, but it was right on the other side of Queens, Long Island City, and I stayed there 2 weeks. But that was crazy. Police running up in there every night. It was insane. It was insane.
So, Andre,
what's up, Dave Q?
Andre said incarcerated people/individuals, felons, ex-cons, inmates, all are offensive to the population. How you feel about that? Like, did you feel like that you, when you got out, that was how people saw you? You were offensive to them?
Let me tell you something. I'll tell you, I went to church one Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have the clothes. You know, I just came out. I was wearing a homeboy's clothes. It was like, he was like 4 sizes bigger than me. I'd been to this church before. And so they knew my testimony and story. However, so when I went and sat down on a pew, a woman had her pocketbook there. Well, and it wasn't like nowhere near, but she saw me and she picked her pocketbook up and hugged it and then put it on the other side of her.
Wow. How often did you face things like that?
all the time. Love you too, Dave Q.
I can still tell you some stuff I face today, still.
After 8 years. Eight and a half years,
yeah.
8.5 years being outside.
So let me ask you this question, Professor. You're outside now. Now you're outside.
Yes.
You're in the regular society. Now just to know where you are now and coming from the shelter, you are now in a place where I'm amazed because, you know, I've come back and forth to Brooklyn and I've seen, you know, you're driving a nice car. You got your own place now, you know, and you're pretty much working every other day that I see you. You in films, you in movies, you in sitcoms, you're getting interviews, you got a book out. So it's like I'm sitting here in admiration of you because understanding the stigma that was put on you and what you had to deal with, but you made it your business to not be a statistic coming out. What was that like?
I mean, I guess I really already conditioned myself because I already had conditioned myself in the system not to be a byproduct. What happens is everybody becomes a byproduct to fit in. And, you know, for different reasons, protections, lack of identity, low self-esteem, you know, everybody's a blood, everybody's a crip, everybody's a king or Muslim, you know, the list goes on, you know. So I guess I conditioned myself already in there for that, not knowing that I was going to need that when I stepped outside as well.
Not knowing. Wow.
Dave Q said, man, you a miracle. He said, what you had to go through and where you are today, your story is a miracle story. This is why we definitely bring you back on, man, because it's about letting people know that in the midst of you feeling that you will not make it, you know what I'm saying? God has the last say, the final say. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it may seem. And I don't even care certain things that you may apply for and get denied. I don't believe you're getting denied because of your record. I believe you're getting denied because this is God steering you in a whole other direction.
Because you're not lacking
like someone who would not know what to do if they were in the situation that you were in.
Listen, I have to read what Adrian Hampton wrote. These people love you, Mr. Barry Austin. The love that I see, I can't even take my eyes off the comments. He says, I'm all for you do the crime, you do the time. But Barry's situation is very unique, and he was put in a situation that caused him to do the unthinkable, just so he could be free. I admire his strength. I mean this sincerely, with hearts and 100%. And all of this stuff, because you know you don't really know the person, and a lot of times when you see people and you hear that they were in prison for whatever the case, it's almost as if we have a judgment up front already without getting to know that person, unless you probably knew that person before and you know the situation. So I can imagine that you've come face to face with a lot of that. And you made a statement. You said you weren't prepared. You said, I wish I was prepared for what was going to happen when I came out. So for somebody that's watching, somebody who may have a loved one that's in right now, about to come out, or someone who hopefully gets to the prison and someone is about to get out and they need to hear what you wish you heard, what would you tell them?
Listen, I would tell them to learn all they can. I would tell them, contact me, contact Andre Aparicio, individuals that are experts in this area to show what's needed, the support that's needed. Sometimes people think that, okay, because I give you a couple of dollars, I'm supporting you. But it's more than that, you know. I give you an outfit, a webcast, maybe it's more than that. You know, one of the things, and I'll say this, I did a lot of ministry when I was behind the wall. I mean, so like I preached on a regular, wherever I was at, you know. So coming out, like I was received in there in such a way in reverence. And I'm coming out here and it's like, what am I going to do? And the folks don't want to hear me. Folks don't even know me. I don't even know you after what I'm saying.
Wow.
And folks are going, I'm coming from prison. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, it was a lot to deal with. And a lot of the support that I needed and emotional support, I just didn't have.
Wow. I want to ask you a question. I'm curious about this. Why you were in, I'm really curious about this. How many times did the church come inside to support and show support? How many times did that happen?
Oh my gosh. Samara's on here. When I tell you, it was unreal. Like, you know, shout out to Donnie McKirkland. Donnie came in and did a service for me. BB Winans came in and did a service for me. The late, great Timothy Wright came in on several occasions and, you know, did services. Shout out to Atlantic Star, the old pop group Atlantic Star for Always and Secret Lovers. They're saved now. They came in and did numerous service for me. Like I said, you know, and then we won't even discuss the local churches and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's just, it was an influx. It was never a dull moment when it came to ministry.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. So you really had the support. Samara That's Miller said, awesome. God has his hands on Barry inside those walls and continues to have.
Okay. So listen, we usually, especially today, we hear a lot of negative press about the church. So we is no way we going to scathe past that. That easy, it just goes to the next thing. You just sat here and said all of these churches, all of these people, some of which who have big names, came into the prison, right? Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically gave the gift that God gave them to minister to people, to help.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it aided you in just feeling loved as well. We can't just pass that over because y'all, it's still people out here who love God and love his work and will do what God has called them to do. Even if it means, now I ain't gonna front. I don't think prison is my ministry because I get nervous just thinking about your story. I think I'd rather probably go under the bridge and pass out some food and sing to them or talk to them about God. I'm not as afraid, I have to be honest. But they came. These people supported. That's okay, so that was my soapbox. We can move on now.
let me just say this, and I respect what you said, but prison ministry does not just detail going into the prison.
Okay.
You can support somebody else going in. You know what I mean? You can send tracts, literature. You know what I'm saying? There's so much more than just coming in, you know, for a service. And, you know, there is it. That's just one aspect of prison ministry.
So would you say you got more support from the church while you were in there as opposed to being out?
That's a good question.
Indubitably.
Wow.
Wait. Indubitably, you got more
support inside
in or indubitably?
Inside.
Do you think that's because we know that that's a part of the mission that God gave us to go, you know, why do you think that?
Because your story, your story is greater coming out of it. You understand what I'm saying? Am I making sense? Your story is a little greater coming out of it. You know, you made it out of a situation.
Right. But see, well, again, like I said, folks see the glory, but they don't understand the story.
That's
they don't
what understand I'm trying to get, the story.
They don't understand. And I definitely had more support from, you know, the churches while I was in than when I was out. And even, and one thing, you know, I'm going to tell the truth and shame the devil, even some of them same individuals that supported while I was in there, when I got out,
they were no
that's behind. Why I, that, see, and that's what the thought came to my mind. Do you think it's because we know that that's part of, That's what you're supposed to do as a church. You're supposed to help those who are inside. You know, do you think that's part of it? Because we just that's the thing to do.
I can't even put, it's so far for me to even comprehend because if you know, you know. And I don't see how you was... I not understand. Everybody's not going to understand in totality.
Yeah.
But if you're seeing somebody that was incarcerated for 15 years and doing what they were doing and you were supporting their ministry and stuff like that, and you see them step out after all this time, you got to understand.
You're too close to me now. Maybe now I have a relationship with you now, a real one.
Can y'all go back to, we got a good question on here that ties in Tanisha Wells. This? Tanisha Walls.
I've been looking at Tanisha's comment.
Yeah, go back. Okay, it says, what were some ways you expected or needed support or desired support that can encourage believers on the outside to look in?
Oh, that was
I'm going to tell you. So when I can bring up so many different examples. One of the things when I came out, it spread like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
Folks wanted me to preach here. They wanted me to get my testimony here, stuff like that. So, and I was at a church. So I got a call one day. Somebody wanted me to come in and preach a minister. And they said, well, what's your honorarium? I said, what? They said, what's your honorarium? I said, let me call you back. I didn't know what an honorarium was.
Wow.
You know, this wasn't sat down and did, you know what I'm saying? You know, even at the church I was at, like I said, I'm just coming home. Nobody was allowed to go with me.
Because probably when you went in, people was going to churches and stuff just because God told them to go and they had a word. You didn't know about an honorarium.
Go back to Marcus's statement.
Marcus, I was looking at it. Marcus says, maybe the church see going in as the mission, as Free stated, but supporting someone on the outside requires a deeper commitment. Marcus, I was there with you.
But duly note that to me, that is the responsibility of the church, a commitment.
That's what's missing, people.
I believe that is the responsibility of the church. And that's what happens is we categorize our commitments as opposed to it being easier when doing ministry covers the whole thing, inside and out.
Can I address something?
Come on.
Adrian said, what I admire about Barry Austin Ray is that you never gave up on the church after you were free. Let me just say this, Adrian. It was easier for me to give up on the church when I got outside than it was on the inside.
Wow.
Okay, talk about that.
Because again, some of the stuff, the treatments that I got wasn't cool. You know what I mean? I shared this with Jesse one time. I was sitting in a service, you know, I'm fresh out, you know, wearing other people's clothes, had no money in my pocket. And the preacher said, you know, she had preached, she was getting ready to take up an offering. She said, you know, you shouldn't even come to church if you don't have an offering.
Oh, my.
Can you imagine how that made me feel? You know what I mean? And I thought about somebody that wasn't as rooted and grounded.
Yeah.
That would have been in there. And, they, you know what I'm saying? It would have sent them out the door and made them never come back. It was so, you know, I can remember, you know, the church is talking about, we're going to feed the community. And I'm sitting here starving. Can't tell my stomach from my back. And they know.
Wow. But you know what's so crazy? It's so crazy because that is so true. There be people inside of the church that are hurting, that come to church and don't even know how they're going to get home. But they'll take up an offering to give to the people that's poor in the streets, or they'll do feed the homeless or feed the hungry. But they don't even understand that there are some people who come to church and won't even, because they're prideful. Well, not saying that helps. But the point is, this is about understanding and having a relationship. Because what we have done in the church, we have replaced relationship with religion. And because religion has taken so much of precedence in the church, until we don't build relationships with people in the church, so we really don't even know what people are going through in the church. Some people come to church broken down, no money, no food in their house, and you make them feel bad about the very little that they have, that they have to give that. And the responsibility is, like I said, to understand about the relationship.
And this is not to say,
and this is not to bash the church,
the whole church, like every single church.
I'm not saying.
But I believe that it is time to be honest now, you know, because people are really hurting. And I remember that season we went through with church hurt. Everybody was going to church. But and then, you know, after a while, people was like, I'm so sick of hearing people talk about church hurt. But it is real.
It's real.
So for those out there who are doing the work, and I like how, who is this here? One of the comments, David, He said the church is supposed to show that they're doing the work. But the real work, all caps, comes when no one is looking. And that's where the relationship come from, Barry.
Wow.
It's sad to say that a lot of times, and I was one. I've been not in your situation, but I've been in the church, working in the choir, the youth leader, all of this in the same church at the same time, and was homeless, and nobody knew. Nobody, well, some people
they don't know,
but it wasn't that they cared enough to
that's right, Marcus,
make sure, you know, I did have one person to help me, but you know, it was like all of these people that knew my situation, but nobody cared enough to do the work when no one was looking, as far as what was spoken on the comment. So I think that that's what we need to get back to, because I remember going to church when I was growing up. We called uncle, aunt,
that's right,
sister, brother, people that didn't even have our blood. We became like family. And when somebody couldn't even make it to church, I remember they used to take the communion to their house and have a little meeting with them for about 15 minutes and have communion with them and show them that we missed you today. And so since you couldn't come to us, we're going to come to you. You know, it used to be that way. So for you to get out, people think it's easier sometimes out here, but we need to wake up. We really need to wake up, because if we really truly get the scales off our eyes and God show us what he sees that's really going on, we would cry. We would do like you did when you saw when y'all took that wrong turn and you saw your city for the first time after again. We would cry, because this world has gotten to that point.
And let me say this. There's hundreds of men that I've known that have come home after doing extensive amount of time and no support, not having people around to help them acclimate and become a productive member of society, and gone right back. Said it was easier there. And yeah, that breaks my heart. Because again, you know what I'm saying? You know, and especially, you know, for like those when I was coming out behind me, and I wasn't in a position to help them, but seeing them talk about they going back because it's easier in there. Like,
oof.
There was a comment.
God help.
She said, now knowing what we know about the church, do we think that they are real or is fake? I don't think. You want to answer that, Barry? Yeah. So knowing what you know about the church, do it make you wonder, are church folks for real? Or just for show? You got to. I think you got to kind of separate. You got to kind of separate.
You have to.
Opposed to who are running the church, because there's a difference in power, and there's a difference in influence, and there's a difference in mindset. Because church people, or people who go to, let's say people who go to church, these are people who are really looking for help.
Right.
They're hungry for the help.
They're hungry for Jesus.
They're hungry. And that's what we understand where the help comes from.
Yeah.
From
come
the Lord.
On now.
But
let me say this. You know, church folks and kingdom folks are two different things.
Yeah, all that's right. True, too. Okay. That's true, too. From a whole nother perspective. Great.
Marissa, girl, you blessed me.
Come keep elaborating.
Go ahead.
You know, church folks and kingdom folks is different. Church folk come to church, you know, want to be seen with kids, but kingdom folks that want to build God's kingdom, they're going to get all in. You know what I mean? They're all in. So yeah, at the end of the day, it's a different mentality. It's a different set of commitment, you know, right, where there's no commitment, you know, and no, you have to separate. Even like when we was on here, when I was on a couple of weeks ago and we talked about what I went through and what led up to this, had I not been able to separate the two, I couldn't have sat under another pastor, especially a male pastor.
Yeah.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You look at everybody the same.
And yeah, and you can't do that, right?
But you know what I'm saying? Because I don't want people to look at me the same.
Come on.
Yeah, that's true. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Marissa, I have to say her comment. I love your comment, Marissa. Is it Marissa or Marissa?
Marissa.
Marissa. Marissa says, so all this proves is that it was God and not the church.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's all this proves.
Exactly.
So we could go into, was it the church? Are they fake? Or you know what? To be honest, I believe that people do what they saw. I believe that a lot of people, they do what they know to
come
do.
Come on, Crystal.
I believe that it's not fake for them to That's do right. what they know to do. But when you hear things like this, when you have real talk, when people, the people are talking
That's
now.
That's right.
The people are speaking. You have to be able to open your ears now as leadership in the church and say, okay, we need to figure out what it is that we can do different now. Shift. We have to shift our perspective and shift our mindset, because everybody can't be wrong.
I just know there's a lot of great comments. Church folk, but that's right. That's another. You're right, Samara. That's a whole nother topic, and we're gonna tackle that. Church folk versus kingdom folk.
But okay. Can I segue just a little bit? Keep your thought, Marissa. We need you to contact us after the show, okay? Because we were told that you have a story of your own that we may want to hear. So
yes,
make sure, Marissa.
Come on, Dave Q.
Marissa. Okay.
Wait. Because we got Dave Q. This is where I'm about to go. Dave took it right out of my mouth.
Come on, Dave.
Dave said, this should be said. Some churches aren't the church that's called. The community is the church's first help. Kingdom building is all about uplifting the people and dismantling the problems.
Uplifting the people and dismantling the problems.
What? I know, I'm not even going to say no names. I used to play for this church in Brooklyn.
Oh, Lord, you done narrowed it down to the...
I used to play for this church in Brooklyn.
Everybody know who you're talking about now. Everybody
don't know because it was a lot of churches that I played for in Brooklyn.
Okay.
It was a lot of churches. But this church was in an area, that really needed the church to go into the projects. And I asked the pastor, I said, why do the policemen go into the apartments and the housing development? We'll just say that for I don't, you know, be on the wrong thing I'm saying. Why do the police go in the housing developments more than the church? Because again, these were housing developments that have a lot of drugs, have a lot of crime, have a lot of hurt.
Why do the policemen?
Why do the police? Yes, the police go in there more than the church do.
Oh, okay. Then the church.
Then the church go in there. These are souls. These are souls that need God, and you don't never. First of all, I believe every seed planted grows. I don't care if it's a little seed that you plant, but if you plant that seed, it's going to grow.
Absolutely.
But we so busy worrying about seeds being planted in the church until we don't go out and plant no seeds.
Now, listen, Miss Brenda, I got you.
I'm sorry. Elder. I'm sorry, Apostle.
No, I love this show because this is the, come on now. Miss Brenda, she says, so do knowing what you know now, does it make you question your faith, especially about the church?
No, not at all.
Absolutely not. Come on, Barry.
It doesn't make me question my faith. Because I know where my faith lies, and my faith doesn't lie in the church.
That's right.
Come on, talk about it.
And the reality is, when it comes to the church building and the people in the church,
uh-huh.
I know now what to expect and what not to expect. Mm-hmm. And that knowing is the battle. When, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes our expectations get us hurt because we have such expectations for people and entities and stuff like that. And then we get let down, or we don't get the support or the love that we need, and then we're broken. But I know what to I know what to expect. I know what not to expect.
Right.
So I can't be offended on that area. But has it questioned my faith in God? And absolutely not. It's only enhanced it and strengthened it.
Come on, that's the way it's supposed to go. Erica, because I got you right here. Go ahead.
Come on, Bishop.
Go ahead,
come
Barry.
I couldn't depend on nobody else. It's my faith in whom I believe.
That's right.
And who
that's
kept
right.
me 22 years and 9 months that kept me going.
Yeah.
And you also know this too. It also says that you know the tree by the fruit that it bears. Baby. So if you're bearing fruit, it's only coming from the tree.
No, let me just say this.
Okay,
because,
come on.
I don't even care. What happens is a lot of times the fruit is there, but because of where you've been, folks won't look at the fruit, but look at where you've been.
Oh, unfortunately.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? The fruit is there.
Yeah.
Integrity is there. Trustworthiness is there. You know what I'm saying? The heart of people is there.
Wow.
But let something come they're going to result back to where you've been. It can be an innocent mistake. It can be, you know, an error, you know what I'm saying? A mix of what case may be, they're going to result back to where you've been rather than the
fruit. Wow.
But wouldn't that still come from, because again, I believe it is what's being taught. You know what I'm saying? Because for the only reason why you reflect to even that level of ministry is what you're being taught. It comes from.
I'm going to tell you what the problem is. If we remember Jonah, he had to go preach to Nineveh. When mm-hmm. you study Jonah, his forefathers was oppressed by Nineveh.
Oppressed by Nineveh, right?
And they were some evil people. The book of Nahum, second and third chapter, they was evil, cruelty and war, evil plots against God. So I understand him not wanting to go preach to these people.
Come on.
But he preached to them. He went and preached to them after he came out the fish. You know what I mean? Didn't believe that they was going to, you know, repent, but they did. He got angry that God spared them. What happens is a lot of times, and it's a sad thing in the church, we don't believe that people can be redeemed until it comes to our own household, our own family, somebody that we close to, that we got love for. It can't happen. They can't be redeemed to be fully restored, but my son and my daughter can. My niece and y'all hearing what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's why it's up to each individual to play their part in this. And let me read what Erica wrote. Erica, she says, it's so depressing being raised in the old school church and now be an adult giving God all the praise and using the gifts he has blessed you with to be used and abused by those looking for quantity and not quality. Wow. Listen, Erica.
This is you talking right, Reverend. I promise you are. But again, we just trying to keep it real.
Yeah.
Because this is what happens. They're being, because again, a lot of today's people, they're coming like this, arms open. I'm looking for the way. And the way that's being showed is give. And the only concern is as long as you're giving, whether it's your money, whether it's your time, whether it's your emotions, whether it's everything you have, give to this ministry. But the concern is not what I give to you so that you can go out and bring them in. You know what I'm saying?
And again, we're not talking about every church.
We're not talking about every church, but we're just being real here. We will only be real. I can only be real because I experienced it.
So many of us
from both sides of the spectrum, I've experienced it. The only concern, and again, because I've dealt with a church and I've dealt with another church. The same thing. They were only concerned about me being the musician at the church. They didn't know what I was going through. As long as I was on my post at the time I was supposed to be there, that was their only concern. And it wasn't just the tree. It was the fruit. But it was because of what the tree was saying. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell y'all something. I understand what you're saying.
And I guarantee you, now I'm not at their church no more. And the thing is, because I'm about relationship. So now my relationship was only, and this is shown, this relationship was only a relationship as long as I was at that church.
Giving your gift.
Giving my gift. I ain't at that church no more, and I don't even talk to none of the people no more.
Listen, Bishop Barry, you outside for real. Now, this is what happens when you come outside. This is
unfortunate. Come on, Crystal. You got to read. Crystal is saying some good stuff. No, Crystal Flowers. She's saying some good stuff.
She must be a woman of God. She must be a woman of God.
Because she is saying some good stuff.
One thing for certain, and I read this one. That's why I was smiling, Crystal. You had me smiling. See, she says one thing for certain and two things for sure. When you can go and plant seeds where no one else is willing to go, those trees will grow deep and strong because of the untouched
fertile soil,
baby.
My point exactly. Come Crystal, on. Prophetess Flowers.
Hallelujah.
Bishop.
Hallelujah.
Bishop.
Keeping it real is about the true deliverance. I'm sorry, baby. This is David. Then the heart of God will push you into leading the right way. We all know.
Yes, come on, Q.
And seen them all. Let me tell y'all.
Come on, Dave Q. Bishop, we're going to have to anoint David and install him as. Come the on. Pastor of the Red Hook Baptist Church at Crown Heights, Church on the Hill.
This is what happens when you come outside. And especially one thing that Jesse and I used to say, when you come and we talk real talk, everybody doesn't have to agree. But we all have to respect each other's opinions. This is real talk. And the thing that's happening here is I feel people are getting free. People are finally able to say what has been on their hearts.
Yes, yes.
And that's what happened.
And to see it coming from you, Rev, I want to ask you a question, quick question, Rev. But like I said, you know.
Because we have to get to.
Because we're outside now.
Yeah,
we're outside.
Yeah.
Because the topic for today is I'm outside. Now, I just want you to say, tell someone or the people that are listening and even people who really don't understand about prison ministry, being outside, what are some of the things that you can encourage people who are on the inside trying to come outside or, you know, what to expect or, you know, tell us your version of what outside is to you.
I mean, and one of the things, I'm going to answer your question. One of the things you talked about, opinion. And one of the things is, I'm not giving the opinion. I'm telling you what I experienced. So
come
if
on,
anybody
come
gets upset with that, you know, I'm just telling you what I experienced and what
story.
I had to deal.
Right.
You know, so being outside, it for me, again, it was, dude, let me just say this. I'm a worker. I've always been. I have no problem, you know, rolling my sleeves working. But there were days I got up and went out searching after every door being shut in my face the day before. Mm. And coming home to an empty place and having to deal with that. You understand what I'm saying? Mm. No one to empathize or even like to pour into me that to understand that, you know, it will get better. Or getting hired on jobs, knowing that I was on parole. And would abuse me and use me because they knew I needed it. You know what I mean? I needed the paycheck. Right. Or working a job and getting jobs and doing stellar work, doing above and beyond, only to be fired after the extensive background check came in.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, and finding that in everything, even to this day, I find that I have to go above and beyond. I have to do harder. I have to work harder. I have to be a standout. I have to be stellar because sometimes it's unfortunate, even after 8.5 years, you'll still be judged. You still won't be dealt the hand of a productive member of society or being exonerated or your past being expunged. No, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's not the case. So just understanding that, you know, the support, you know, the unadulterated, unapologetic support sometimes means everything. Then, you know, you giving $5 or $10, whatever the case may be. It because when I tell you there were days. I know what it is to walk miles from Brooklyn to Queens because I didn't have $2.75 to pull up my Metro card. You know, walking across the bridge from Manhattan back into Brooklyn because I didn't have $2.75 on my Metro card. Dude, I know. And the days where it's just like, yo, my body and mind just was like, you know, just give up. Like, dude, like, what's the use? Like, you know, it was rough. It was rough. And even triggers, you know, stuff that people would do or say that, you know, sometimes would trigger you. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy being outside. I wasn't prepared for being outside. And that's why I do what I do, because I don't ever want somebody to have to go through what I went through and it'd be as hard as it had to be when I, you know, stepped out.
I just want you to know this, man. One thing I know about you, man, you know, because we've been friends for a long time. And one thing I could say is that I never looked at what you've been through because I know who you are. And because I know who you are, I know what your life entails. You are a giver. You are ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing God knows about us. He knows who we are. So because he knows who we are, he'll put us in situations to help bring other folk out. He'll put us in situations to even make us stronger than we already believe that we believe that that more than we would believe that we already are.
Yeah.
So because I know you a ministry, man. You walk it, you talk it. That is your life. I mean, you walk around in suits and going to the store. You know what I'm saying? But that's because God has really raised you up for such a time as this.
Because people need real. They need the real life. They need the real story.
That's right.
They need the real truth. They need to know, how did you come from? First of all, your story started with you were angry as a little kid and no one saw your pain because you were being molested by a man of God in the church. That should have turned you against God right there, but it didn't. Then you even, I remember, if you haven't seen the last episode, y'all, go look at the last episode with Barry Austin. I thought my life was over. That's the title. Because you talked about how when you got caught and you were sitting in Central Booking, that was the first time you felt free. Then you talked about how you were in prison and how they put you out, basically, after you had been sentenced to 15 years. They gave you 20, how many?
22 years and 9 months.
You served 22 years and 9 months, and then at some point, the officers came and said, we got to get you out of here. And they gave their reason for it. I'm not going to go into that because I might get it wrong. And then from there, you outside. You in a shelter. Then you went from, it was almost like how people say when it rains, it pours. It was one hit after another hit after another hit.
Bishop, I was looking for you.
But right now, artist, actor, producer, singer, man of God, for real. See, what God is doing is he's saying there's a remnant of you that I need y'all to go through these things. I need you to go through because you're going to be the Bible walking that people not going to ever read. They're going to read your life. It's too many of us out here playing. Like you said, you playing. It's too many people in the body of believers who out here playing. So God is going to take some of us through some things. And then he's going to bring us out. And when he brings us out, the love for his work is going to be so genuine that we're going to be able to do things that everybody else may be playing around with. But you're going to do it for real.
Bishop Butler. Go back to Bishop Butler's comment, y'all.
And I was about to say, Bishop Butler had to go through what he went through. And now marriage ministry for him is real. That's what God is doing.
For our light affliction,
which
is but for a moment.
But for a moment.
Worketh for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of God
worketh for glory. Our employees.
And it was only for a moment.
And although you went through, my prayer for you is, Lord, don't let Barry waste.
Unmatched. That's right.
Everything he went through.
Leah.
Allow him to know the lesson that you took him through that for, so he can go and help somebody else. Because that's what it's all about. Now that you outside and you doing his work, people know it's real. That's why you got so much love on this feed. Because people know that it's real. We don't want to take up our cross because it hurts. We don't want to take up our cross because it'll bring up feelings and triggers from our childhood or whatever the case. But what God is saying is, if you take up your cross and follow me, you can't go wrong when you're following in my footsteps. It'll hurt, yes. But when I bring you out, and when I take you to it and bring you through it and then bring you out, you're going to have some people that I'm going to draw to you.
That's
because
right,
you're going to lift me up.
That's right, Crystal.
And we appreciate you for that. We honor you for that.
Marissa said you should have gave up long time ago.
Somebody on here said you should have lost your mind or you still have your right mind.
Yeah, there you go. Bring back testimony. That's right, Crystal. She said, bring back testimony. It will help somebody. These young people don't know how to cope. It's the difference between overcoming and suicide. That's right. We done put a psychological name on not knowing how to cope, and we call it mental health.
And it's real.
We call it mental health.
Just like physical health. Right. It's real.
The point is, There's so much that's more required of us as a body of Christ, as a body. You know what I'm saying? There's so much more required of us, and I believe, man, this is just the start of what's greater for you, man. What's
coming is better. Talk, we'll be supporting you every step of the way.
If you like what you heard today, y'all, please like and share it. Man, the supporters, brother Barry, you got a book coming out, and you were showing us about a book earlier. You want to talk on that real quick before we?
Yes. My brother, well, you need to link with Andre as well. Andre Aparicio.
My emancipation up?
Yeah, he put this book out. Andre's another one who was incarcerated, came out, and
wow,
has been an advocate for individuals coming out and helping them reacclimate and become productive members of society. He's been mediators between, you know, prisoners and parole officers, you know, in the forefront of, you know, getting individuals jobs and the whole nine. So we've been on this journey together for 8 years, you know, and still pushing forward.
Amen. So,
yeah. Leah, I have to say this real quick, and I know we're running out of time.
Yes,
Leah said,
you.
I've never said this before, but I used to look forward to your calls because I knew you were still pushing through, and I seen the smile on my dad's face. Period. Y'all listen. Oh my God.
Bishop, we love you, Bishop.
Two, part three. I mean, it's never
ending. Bishop Butler, God bless you, sir.
Bless you. Oh yeah, we definitely are supporting Bishop Butler and his ministry as well.
Oh yes, listen, man.
Y'all listen.
I'm sorry, y'all, but listen, y'all. Please, if you want to be a blessing to the ministry, Shift Movement.
Cash Shift Out, Movement. Shift Movement. We got to keep this going, y'all.
We really want to keep this going. We want to keep this going.
We have to keep
and
it going.
And we're gonna get to the point where we're going to be able to bless these guests that's coming on. And
amen.
That's what we
want to do.
But we just, Barry, man, we thank God for you, bro. We got to stop. You got to keep going. Thank you for posting Andre's information. And like I said, and please, y'all go get that Choir Boy. That's Barry's book that he got out.
The Choir Boy.
Go get that.
Choir Boy, man. And listen,
we
y'all.
We love you.
We have a YouTube page, y'all. Listen, this is what we're doing. We're going to randomly pick a subscriber, and there's a prize for that randomly picked subscriber.
So go on YouTube and subscribe
to Shift Movement.
Shift Real Talk.
That's what it is.
Shift Real Talk.
You see the big ass on
it. Do it now.
There is a great prize. I'm going to tell you
what it is yet.
I ain't going to say what it is yet, but if you subscribe to the channel. And listen, y'all, we're going to be doing more work with Barry. We're talking and Bishop Butler on there. These ministries are going to come together, and we're going to be doing a lot more. We're going to be bringing a lot of great content for you guys.
Absolutely.
So listen, man, look, Barry, anything you want to say before we close out?
Well, thank y'all, you know, for again, another platform of being on here, and everybody that came on, I appreciate you. Bishop, God bless you, sir. So just thank you, you know, keep me in your prayers, Doc, for real.
Yes.
Amen.
Barry also has an entertainment company, y'all. 6-in-1 Entertainment.
He's signing artists. I love it.
Signing artists, man. He's bringing it, man. He's bringing it. So Barry, thank God for it.
Check me out. One of my latest on Netflix, Madoff, the Monster of Wall Street. Check me out in there. Got some more stuff coming.
I'm telling you, this guy's about to do. Listen, man. Commercials. Commercials. I'm going to get with you on some jingles because you're going to be doing some commercials.
Amen.
You're going to be doing commercials.
You better believe it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
So I'm
and listen, y'all, wait, we got to give a shout out to the people who make this podcast happen, man. I love these brothers, man.
Love them.
Sacred Stone Studios.
Sacred Stone
listen,
Studios.
Y'all, this is the best studio in Houston.
Texas.
This is the best studio. And Barry, we're going to get with you, man. We're going to start the radio station soon. I'm telling y'all, these guys will take care of you. I promise you. If you want to do a podcast, if you want to do your sermon, you know, they'll set the stage up for you, man, and look out for you, man.
All right, listen. It is now time for us to end.
Portland, Oregon. We come into Portland. Love Ball in Portland, Oregon. Had to say that.
Go on Eventbrite.
April 29th.
Look up Portland, Oregon.
April 29th.
Shift Love Ball.
Shift Love Ball in Portland,
Come
Oregon.
Come with us. Let's go in numbers and support.
Let's go. I'm telling you, it's going to be dope.
We celebrating love.
Barry might have to bring you out there to tell your story, man. We're celebrating
love. All right, so it's time to pray. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you forever, for always. Thank you for this platform. Thank you for the people that have come. Bless their homes. Bless them in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Like and share, y'all.
Listen, we love you.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all for supporting. Thank y'all. Thank y'all, man. Barry, thank you, man.
Until next Tuesday.
Shift Real Talk.
Peace.
Peace. For watching.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.